Hello, beautiful people. This is your Fall 2021 AFM 491 podcast. My name is Sarah Oz. I'm your professor. Welcome to a new episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode. In this episode, I'll be discussing not-for-profit organizations. This is chapter 9 in your textbook, and it's the lecture number 2 in the videos. There were 4 videos associated to this chapter. The first 3 parts cover the theory, and the last part covers the textbook questions. Before listening to this episode, I suggest that you finish at least the first 3 parts of the lecture. Then you can come back to this episode, and you'll get the most out of it. In this episode, I'm just going to give you a few fun facts about the not-for-profit sector in Canada. Then I will briefly summarize the chapter, but not in detail. And then I'm going to ask you some simple questions from this chapter. Here's a fun fact about not-for-profit sector in Canada. For an organization to get the charity status, they need an approval from the Canadian Revenue Agency. Even though some people use the terms charity and not-for-profit interchangeably, they are actually not the same thing. All charities are non-profit, but this is not true for the other way around. An organization can be non-profit, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be a charity. So please keep that in mind. Charitable and non-profit sector account for about 2.5% of Canadian GDP. That is a lot if you think about it. Charities and non-profit organizations do not necessarily use governmental funding to support themselves financially. For a good chunk of organizations, they use actually sales of goods and services to generate income. The only exception to this rule is for hospitals, universities, and colleges. For these non-profit organizations, that almost 75% of their funding comes from governmental sources. 72% of their funding tends to come from provincial governments. And another fun fact about non-profit sector in Canada, Ontario has the largest non-profit sector in Canada. There are more than 58,000 non-profits and charities in the province. These organizations employ over 1 million workers. At least 600,000 of them are full-time workers. And non-profit sector in Ontario contributes at least 2.5% of the province's GDP. And that's, again, a lot if you think about it. Well, these were all the fun facts for the Canadian non-profit sector. And now I'm going to be giving you a brief summary of the chapter we discussed. You should be able to tell me the difference between non-profit and profit-seeking entities. And we discuss a bunch of distinctions between them, but an important distinction is that non-profit organizations do not have owners. And you should be able to tell me what that means in terms of implications for financial statements. And an important implication of not having owners means that non-profit organizations do not have equity. Not having equity also means that they're not going to have shareholders' equity. They're not going to have retained earnings. Instead, we're going to call that net assets. And as the name suggests, net assets is calculated assets minus liabilities. The primary goal of nonprofit organization is to provide services to either their members or to the public in general. Their primary goal is not to earn profit. Profit or earning some kind of rate of return is important, and it will keep them alive for a long time, So it's important in terms of financial viability. But again, keep in mind that that is not the primary goal. We also discuss financial statements for nonprofit organizations. We discuss differences between profit-seeking entities' financial statements and the financial statements of the nonprofit organizations. Again, there are some important differences, and you should be able to talk about those differences if I were to ask about them. We also discussed about revenue recognition, because revenue recognition principle is very important in accounting, and there are some important differences between profit-seeking entities and non-profit organizations. For revenue recognition to make sense in this chapter, we discussed about restrictions. Primary revenue source is contributions, and contributions can be restricted or can be unrestricted. Restrictions matter, especially if they have external restrictions. External restrictions would imply that a nonprofit organization can only use those donations for a specific purpose. Often donors will indicate the restrictions, or those restrictions may exist based on the function. We discuss accounting system when it comes to recording journal entries, when it comes to recording contributions. We discussed restricted fund method and deferral method. There are some important differences when it comes to rules, and you should be able to identify those rules. You should be able to tell me how to record a transaction using deferral as opposed to using restricted fund method. We also discussed the importance of fund accounting. We mentioned how it creates accountability because it will give more information based on the restrictions, based on the programs, etc. So as I said, this is a brief summary, so you shouldn't be relying on the summary to study this chapter, but hopefully this summary will highlight some of the important points. So now I'm going to ask you some brief questions. And these questions are going to be easy questions. You shouldn't need pen, paper. Instead, you should be able to answer these questions in your head. The idea is that if you are struggling with these questions, that is a sign that you need to go back to the lecture videos and maybe study the content one more time. First, I'm going to ask you a bunch of true or false statements. Then I'm going to ask you one or two record the journal entry questions. So let's start with the first one. Is the following statement correct? Endowments are donations that are received with the provision that it will be invested and only the investment income may be spent by the organization. I'll repeat the question. Endowments are donations that are received with the provision that it will be invested and only the investment income may be spent by the organization. I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. This statement is correct. Endowments are a special kind of contribution. They are restricted and the principal cannot be touched. The interest income may be touched and may be used for other purposes. Next, is the following statement correct? Unrestricted resources can be used for any purposes that are consistent with the goals and objectives of the not-for-profit organization. I'll repeat the statement. Unrestricted resources can be used for any purposes that are consistent with the goals and objectives of the not-for-profit organization. I'll give you a few seconds to think about the answer. And the answer is yes, this statement is correct. Unrestricted resources can be used for any purposes to fulfill the organization's objectives. Next question. If an organization is using restricted fund method, and if they purchase computers, which fund, in your opinion, should they use to record the purchase and amortization of computers? I'll repeat the question. A not-for-profit is using restricted fund method and they purchase computers. Which fund, in your opinion, should they use to record the purchase and amortization of computers? The answer is the capital fund. This is the easiest answer for any tangible assets such as property, plant, and equipment. The most logical fund to use is the capital fund. Next question. How should the portion of investment income earned from the investment of endowment contribution that is required to be used to maintain the purchasing power of the endowment be accounted for if the not-for-profit uses the deferred method to record contributions? I'll repeat the question. How should the portion of investment income earned from the investment of endowment contribution that is required to be used to maintain the purchasing power of the endowment be accounted for if the not-for-profit uses the deferred method to record contributions? I'll give you the answer. The answer, this should be recorded as a direct increase in net assets. Since the investment income is going to be used to protect the purchasing power, that implies that the investment income is not going to be touched either. Remember, with the deferral method, if there is no expense account that can be associated with some of these transactions, such as purchase of land, or endowment, or in this case, interest income that can't be touched, the only way you can do is to record a direct increase in net assets. If the not-for-profit was using restricted fund method, assuming they have endowment fund, in that case, this would be recorded as a contribution revenue. Next question. When a not-for-profit uses the deferred contribution method to record transaction and they receives a donation restricted to the purchase of land, when should the donation be recognized as revenue? I'll repeat the question. A not-for-profit is using deferred method. They purchase land. How should they record this, or when should they record the revenue? This is a bit of a trick question. This should never be recognized as revenue. It is similar to the previous question. There's no expense account associated with land. Remember, land cannot be depreciated. There's no other expense account that can be associated with it. Therefore, you cannot recognize this as revenue or deferred revenue for that matter. This has to be a direct increase in net assets. Next question. According to the CPA Canada Handbook Part 3, not-for-profits should prepare statement of changes in shareholders' equity on a quarterly basis. I'll repeat the question. According to the CPA Canada Handbook Part 3, not-for-profits should prepare statement of changes in shareholders' equity on a quarterly basis. Is this statement true or false? I'll give you the answer. This statement is false. There's no shareholders' equity for not-for-profit organization. And the last question. A not-for-profit uses the restricted fund method and they have general endowment and capital funds. I'm going to give you a transaction and I'm going to ask you to record it. So listen carefully. Cash donations of $30,000 were received. $25,000 of it was restricted by the donor for the construction of a new building, and the remaining $5,000 was restricted for an endowment. I'll repeat the question. A not-for-profit is using restricted fund method. They have general endowment and capital funds. They received cash donations of $30,000. $25,000 of it is restricted by the donor for the construction of a new building, and the remaining $5,000 is restricted for an endowment. How would you record this transaction? I'll give you the answer. Under the restricted fund method, as long as the contributions have their own fund, you can record them as revenue. And in this case, construction of a new building will go into the capital fund, and the endowment obviously will go to the endowment fund. Therefore, even though both of these contributions are restricted, they have their own funds. Therefore, you can contribute them as revenue. The journal entry would be you're going to debit cash in the amount of $30,000. You're going to credit contribution revenue, capital fund $25,000, and credit contribution revenue, endowment fund $5,000. Well, this is it, folks. This is the end of the not-for-profit episode. I'm not going to post any other episode for this chapter. If you are struggling with this episode, remember you can always reach out to me for support. And I'll see you in the next episode, that which is going to be about Chapter 1, Accounting for Investments. Until then, stay safe and keep accounting.